If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Games, welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, Tommy. My name's Ben Vanell. Who's that over there?
Hello, Tommy. My name's Adam Knox. Who's that over there?
It's me, Antonio Banderas. Hello.
Or is it
Puss in Boots? It's one and the same. I don't want to spoil it for you. But
does Antonio Banderas, like, he just basically gets to go in and do that character? That the character is a caricature, but then him doing the voice is just him talking normally, right? Like, he just gets to go in and be himself. It would be funny if he sort of doesn't get what's going on. And they're like, yeah, this is going to be great when we make you look like a little fucked racist cat. And he's like, I'm just speaking normally. Yeah. Do that funny impression that you do.
I think he's doing it a little more over the top.
He's being Zorro.
Yeah.
Right.
Surely that's not his natural voice. A heroic Spanish man.
I don't know if I've ever heard Antonio Banderas in an interview, and I don't know if I care to.
Yeah.
I think we need to tear down celebrity culture.
What?
And stop worshipping these people who, let's face it, what do they really do?
I will never tear down my shrine to Antonio Banderas.
You're right, though. There are certain actors where you're like, oh, I'm interested to know a bit more about this person. And then there's certain people who you're like, no, this will do me. Happy sure. to just see them be a supporting character in something that I go to every 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in what they're doing personal life-wise.
I don't need to know what Bob Balaban is doing. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce his name.
I don't know.
I never want to hear anything about him again.
Who do you think who's the celebrity that you're most interested in? Let's say film star.
Pamela Anderson.
Like as a, I reckon this person, if we met, I would get along with, or just like, this is a fascinating weirdo.
Okay. You would like to hang out with because you would be interested to see what they're actually like and find out about what their sort of day-to-day life and everything is actually like.
Pamela Anderson.
Maybe like Frank Sinatra back in the day.
Ooh,
or does
that's
it have
a good
to
one.
Be current?
No, you can be whoever.
Okay. Oh, Napoleon.
He's not an actor.
He was in a number of films. He's been played by other people, but...
Napoleon Dynamite then.
Yeah. I want to see where he got the idea for that dance.
Yes.
I would love to shadow someone like Brad Pitt or whatever and just see... Yeah. Yeah, what's your... Like, a guy that has been that famous for that long.
Yeah.
What's
I was thinking
day-to-day
Clooney
day-to-day
as well.
Like,
someone like that life that is so removed from normal life.
Yeah, and just trying to chat and like, relate and make small talk.
Mm.
Like, where you would come up against fences where you're like, oh, you know when you... You know, when you're with your friends at the pub and like, no.
No, not for 40 years.
No, but he would go to different bars that allowed someone like Brad Pitt to get away with it.
True, but
I reckon
there
it still
would
be
boring.
And he's also got like 8 kids, right? So like he would have a very kid-focused life.
Yeah.
I reckon he wouldn't want either of you around. 40 feet away at all times.
I hate kids, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
If I don't get to hang out with Brad Pitt because I hate kids, okay.
But me and Ben can just hang out while Brad Pitt's doing kid stuff, and then when he's free, we hang out with Brad Pitt.
But I reckon when he's free, he'd be tired. You're like, let's go to the pub. I want to see if you go to the pub.
Yeah, come on, Brad.
And he'd be like, I'm a 48-year-old man
Look,
with
first
8 children.
First round's on me.
Guys, did you know that Paul Rudd is 50? Have you seen him? How does he stay so young looking?
Probably because he's got the resources of a movie star.
Is he 50?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have picked that.
He does look young.
He does look young,
but I guess he's been around for a while, so that does make sense.
Keanu Reeves as well. They just have that type of face where it looks the same forever.
Yes.
Bit like me.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. The baby of the group. Baby Spice of the podcast. The youthful one.
Let's move on.
Guys, why are you avoiding eye contact with me?
I can't stand to look at your beautiful young face.
Cool. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, he's jealous. He's too jealous.
Folks, not long left to come and see us at the Comedy Festival. What is it, like 3 days left or something by the time people hear this?
Yeah, it would be Friday, so the one weekend.
Yeah.
The Easter weekend.
Oh, the Easter weekend.
Except for the Monday.
Do you think that's going to be good, or do you think we're all going to get fucked in the ass by our good Lord?
I suspect we might get fucked. I think a lot of people are going away. There's the Anzac Day holiday right after.
Yeah.
I think everyone's going to leave Melbourne for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so people might leave other places to come to Melbourne.
You take 3 days off and you get that 10-day weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
Melbourne is the most livable city in the world. So
that's very true.
But it's livable. Livable is opposite. It's different to visitable.
The most Liverpool city in the world.
Liverpool's like, what the fuck? How come you've won that? I've been fucking Liverpool.
I'm going to the most Liverpool city in the world.
You're going to go to Liverpool?
Yeah, going to Liverpool. You're going to
the pool.
Fuck a beetle.
I'm not looking forward to it.
Why not?
I don't know. Is it a shithole? It seems like it'll be a shithole.
My dad hates it. He's from there. And I've only been there once. And in the time that I was like maybe 8, 9. Mm. I don't really remember it that well. But we went to a sweet shop.
Okay.
A British sweet shop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the woman who was working there was like, your kids ain't from round here, are they? They're not from round here, are they?
I'll get my fucking kids to beat them up.
And then my mum was like, well, no, they've grown up in Australia. How did you know? She was like, they're fucking smiling.
That's great.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it sounds like a great place.
We drove down street, the street my dad grew up on, because mm-hmm. he wanted to be like, hey, look, this is the house where I used to grow up. And as we went further down, he was like, there's a house down here.
That's such a dad move.
Yeah, totally.
Thinking your kids will give a fuck about the street you grew up on.
It was kind of interesting. But then further down, because Liverpudlian streets look very different to any street I'd seen in Australia.
Right. Yeah.
Well, in what way? What should I be prepared for?
All the houses are connected.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Did you not know that?
No, I knew that.
Okay. I was going to say, watch any Beatles video.
Watch that.
They all contain that.
The Sid and Nancy movie about the Sex Pistols.
It's fine, that movie.
I've only just put that together. That is where the Beatles are from.
Yeah, Liverpool.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it a bit more interesting now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like the big Beatles thing.
No, I know. I just hadn't thought about it.
Four young boys from Liverpool.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I've been doing the voices today. These four young
boys from Liverpool.
Four young mop top kids from Liverpool. Anyway, we were driving down that street, and towards the end, my dad was like, I hated the end of the street because there was a little kid who used to bully me all the time. When we went near that house, little kid threw a bottle at our car.
Wow.
Little kid.
That's the bully house.
The cycle continues.
Oh, give me the address. I'll go see what happens to me.
123 Liverpool Street. That probably is an address.
Yep.
Yeah.
Liverpool Street, Liverpool. Is there a Melbourne Street here in Melbourne? There's not, is there?
No. I don't know.
Okay. There's a Sydney Road.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It goes to South Melbourne.
Yeah, no, it goes to the opposite.
It goes to Sydney.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
The opposite of South Melbourne. I was telling someone where I lived the other day who hasn't lived here for very long, and I said I live in East Melbourne, and she goes, where's that? Fuck. It's all there. But yes, come see us at the Comedy Festival. A few nights left to go.
Yeah.
Me at 8:20 at the Cooper's Inn, Chimp Cop at 7:30 at Trades Hall, and then Adam Knox at 9:45 at Acme.
Except for the Sunday, which everything's an hour earlier.
Oh, yeah, except me. I'm not an hour earlier, but I probably will cancel one. what do we got, boys? We got a bit of news. We just watched that sweet little Star Wars trailer.
All right, instant reactions. What do you think?
Better than the film trailer.
I haven't watched the film trailer yet. It's a good trailer, but I don't particularly care about Star Wars. So I don't really know. It's an interesting looking trailer, but I don't know what kind of game it is.
I think it's insane. So there's two trailers out. There's one for Episode 9.
Yes, The Rise of Skywalker.
And there's it's a terrible name.
It really, really is.
Any rise or something ascending or all that sort of stuff.
The Ascension of Skywalker.
There's,
that's actually better.
That's actually is better.
Nah. And then there's Jedi Fallen Order, which is the game by Respawn, who are the Titanfall people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the regular Star Wars trailer first? That's kind of adjacent.
Let's talk about it on the fucking Patreon.
Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense.
Well, so I was absolutely going to suggest that.
Jedi Fallen Order then.
Because that's a video game.
It is.
What are we doing? Are we recording yet?
We're just checking the levels still, I think.
So
they're low. They're very low.
Very, very, very low.
Respawn Entertainment. It's that Star Wars game that they've been rumored to be making, or I guess confirmed to be making for ages, but we just haven't really heard anything about.
Yep. EA produced or, distributed, as all Star Wars games are for now.
Yep. I think they've got one more year of their contract or something.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's a single player only first person shooter game.
Okay.
Vince Zampella, who's the head of Respawn, has said there's no multiplayer, no microtransactions in it or anything. It's just a single player.
It's not Battlefront.
No.
Very specifically.
But it's still a first person shooter, which seems...
I think so, but I actually don't know 100%
for really?
Sure.
Okay, because looking at the trailer, I was if this ends up being a third-person Uncharted-y kind of thing, I could be in. That could be really cool. Because that was – which company was it that was being worked on at one point and got that style of game of Star Wars and got scrapped, right?
Yeah, that was – I don't remember what the development team was. That Amy Hennig person,
the lady
was
from
in it.
Uncharted, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What a simpleton. The lady from Uncharted.
Nathina Drake. She was there.
Sally.
That lady what drew the Crash Bandicoot cunt, but human.
Yeah. Crash Bandicoot's mum's doing it.
Was that the one that was called 1313? Or was that an older...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that... No, it was that older one that was cancelled even.
Which was the Bounty Hunter one or something. There's been a few good sounding Star Wars games that have been cancelled.
What did it do to get cancelled?
You should have seen its tweets. You should have... Oh.
Turns out the Jedi actually... people forget it's a religious order. They're quite... revisionist or they're
dogmatic.
The word? Dogmatic, not revisionist. Yeah. I just picked a random big word.
They're quite intelligent.
They're quite anti-disestablishmentarianism.
They're quite encyclopedia.
But this one's by Respawn, who are great. Titanfall 2 had a great single player campaign.
Really, really good.
The trailer is just little bits of cutscene gameplay. It's nothing gameplay.
It's nothing. Yeah, there's no gameplay. I didn't like it.
Yeah, right.
I thought the style looked shitty. It reminded me of the Old Republic online game.
Yeah.
It's a little kiddie, cartoony, rather than full realism. Even
It is a Star Wars game.
It's not, but it's Uncharted is a great comparison. Uncharted looks much better stylistically.
Do you mean just the character models and stuff?
I did think
the character models looked slightly shittier than they perhaps should.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
That really turned me off.
Kind of look like how I was expecting something out of Respawn to look, though.
Yeah.
Personally, because they aren't great with faces.
Yeah, that's true. That's why they build mechs all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looked fine to me in that way. It looked like a Star Wars spin-off game. They all kind of look like that.
It was a little Force Unleashed.
Yep.
Which again, were fun games, but I didn't love the style.
It looked how Jedi Knight looked to me at the time. It looked how kind of Knights of the Old Republic looked to me at the time. Star Wars is just a bit goofy looking.
Yeah.
Whenever you try and, especially there's a character in it who is some alien, Star Wars alien. And whenever you make one of those dumb Muppets that were made for one scene in the original into I'm a developed character, but it's coming out of a weird tube.
Yeah.
Well, this looks stupid. This is a dumb looking guy.
Yeah.
We were saying off mic that, I find it so funny that in the very, very original ones, there is stuff now that they still have, designs that were futuristic in the 70s that now sort of look a bit shitty.
Yeah.
They have, the fucking Millennium Falcon looks like a piece of shit.
But it is meant to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in that... But it is such a 70s future design.
I guess so. The Stormtroopers still look cool and I could get behind their ideas. Anyway, there was one little bit of the guy running along a wall.
Yeah.
Respawn, Titanfall style.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they've confirmed that it's like a first-person shooter, but I believe it is.
It would be great if it was, because like the, what was it called? Dark Forces?
Jedi Knight. And I guess it was, Dark Forces. And then it was like, it was one of those ones that got weird where it went like Dark Forces. Then it was like Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight.
I think you're
And then
right,
it was like Jedi Knight 2.
Jedi Outcast. Yeah. Jedi Academy. Yeah. But those are all fantastic games.
Jedi Academy, that one Wookiee who did the sound effects. Very funny. Whenever a helicopter would take off.
Oh, dear.
Great.
Jedi, get it?
Yeah, no, I absolutely get
Jedi
it.
Jedi Academy.
I'm in love with it.
Yes.
Police laugh.
It's great shit.
What was I going to say? I'm just remembering how fun Titanfall 2 was to play. Like, the movement, the gameplay, the shooting was so much fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The most fun, I think I said at the time, like the most fun first-person shooter I'd played in like 5 years.
Yeah.
It's so fun to play.
That single-player campaign of it as well was like a traditional, here are some cool levels in order, first-person shooter thing, which you don't get a lot of anymore.
Totally, mm-hmm. Totally.
So I'm kind of looking forward to this. It's coming out this year. It's the something of November, 15th or something of November this year. So won't be too. There'll be heaps at probably the Star Wars thing on May the 4th.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Do you know why it's on May the 4th?
Why?
Scheduling.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
just
the
scheduling.
Only day that's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no other days left on the calendar. That's just been sitting vacant for this whole time.
Oh, I don't know if we'll be ready, but okay, we got to do it.
Thinking about it that way of like, it's basically a fun Titanfall game with a Star Wars skin.
Yeah.
Makes me much more excited for it.
Exactly.
But yeah.
It's like, it's a Respawn game first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And because they've said.
It is cool.
Thank you. They've.
No, thank you.
They haven't said. They've said that they're not working on Titanfall 3, or they keep getting asked about it. And
I think they said that like 6 months ago, and then this is coming out. But didn't they say, like, but we are going to?
I think, they're like, we'll do more Titanfall shit, but we're not actively working on it.
Yeah, but if they've been cagey about it, then it sort of makes sense that this would be. This is sort of a Titanfall game, but it's got the Star Wars skin on it.
Like, that would be great.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you're going to them to get them to do a game, you'd expect and probably want them to do that.
To do their thing, yeah.
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 So, yeah.
Cool.
Sick.
Yep.
I'm into it. The trailer is, it would have been nice to see a little bit of gameplay or whatever, but it's just...
Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's true. It's like, how many fucking CGI Star Wars cutscenes have we seen? A million.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing new about this.
Mainly of cancelled games as well. So, I think, that is a big problem with it, is it looks...
A CG cutscene for a game is fucking boring.
For another Star Wars game where it's like, that's a Star Wars looking ship.
Mm.
Yep, that's a Star Wars looking guy. That's a Star Wars looking bar where he looks over at the stormtrooper and you're like, oh, the stormtroopers are actually really there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's got all that lame shit, but I think that will only be bad in the trailer.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls Blades is out.
Yep.
We've not played it.
I couldn't be less interested.
None of us ever will.
No.
I'm happy to stake my life savings on the fact that I will never play Elder Scrolls Blades.
Well, I'll never even download it.
If you do play it, that may be staking your life savings on it, because it is, by all accounts, extremely microtransaction heavy.
Really?
It is a very nickel and dimey type of game.
Lovely Nickelodeon. Ren and Stimpy.
Oh,
are real monsters.
Uh-huh.
Rugrats. Doug. Hey Arnold, Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh God.
Yeah. Invader Zim. I liked Invader Zim.
Rocket Power.
Yep. Yeah. I wasn't into Rocket
Wild
Power.
Wild Thornberries.
Cat Dog
was great.
Was Angry Beavers?
Angry Beavers.
I liked Angry Beavers.
Yep.
Narf.
Yeah.
Piggy in the Brain. That's Cartoon Network.
That is
Warner Brothers.
That's Warner Brothers, yeah. I love that cartoon's great. I love does that happen anymore with cartoons where you're able to have a character that's like basically mentally impaired?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like Pinky and like one of the Angry Beavers. No, no, they weren't.
There was that. There's heaps of TV shows with that. Have you ever watched the news?
Oh no,
President Donald J.
Don't say his name.
Don't.
What's his last name?
Call him Trump. Call him Trump.
I'm not a fan of that.
No,
but that doesn't happen in cartoon. You know what I mean? Like the thing of just like having a sidekick who's just like actually
Patrick from SpongeBob.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but SpongeBob's an old show now. Yeah. For how long it's been on? Yeah,
well, no, the other
2003 or something.
The other reason you may think that is what was the most recent cartoon you watched?
Good point.
Yeah. And most like that's I always hated that where like the main character was just a dumbass like Dora the Explorer where she's like, "Can you help me open the bag?" Like, motherfucker, you've been on 80 adventures. Open the fucking bag yourself. You can do it. You know what a map is.
She's
cunt.
A child.
Yeah, she's a dumb child who shouldn't be allowed out in the fucking wilderness like that if she's that bad at exploring. Yeah.
How old are you? Because Dora
104.
Dora the Explorer was like, by the time that was out, it was like way too young for me.
Oh, it was absolutely after my time. But right. It was one of those ones where you'd sometimes just like...
You like shows for babies.
It was around enough that you just know about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what it is. I don't...
Like,
I
everyone knows the little Dora the Explorer bit. And she just looks at the fucking camera and goes like, duh, I can't figure out how to open this door, kids. Do you want to fucking help me open the door? And it's like, you're asking a three-year-old to help you open the door, Dora. Your name is Dora.
Yeah, you should know how to open a door.
It's basically your name is a verb of the thing that you're trying to do.
With Pinky in the brain, why does the brain tolerate Pinky?
Is he needs a lackey.
Does he?
Wannabe dictator needs a lackey.
Surely he could find someone a bit more smart, though.
I think he actually doesn't want to break out, though, and values his friendship with Pinky more than he does dominating the world.
They do seem to have a genuine friendship. Yeah. I remember that from that.
That's such a good cartoon.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I genuinely used to frustrate me that Pinky was that dumb though again.
Yeah.
Like literally being like, okay, Pinky, fuck. All you have to do, just pull the lever.
Yeah.
When you see a three, pull the lever. And he's like, three? I've got three fingers. Better pull the lever. No.
But then wouldn't he like pull out like some super genius thing every like once in a little while?
Usually like the plan was innately flawed and brain would have fucked it. If you looked at it hard enough.
Yeah. Brain does a lot of fucking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Forbes article I'm looking at here, though, about the...
about Pinky and the Brain?
Yes. Turns out millennials are destroying the Pinky and the Brain industry. Oh. They are disrupting it. about the, like, microtransactions in Elder Scrolls Blades.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yes.
You could argue that we've not done the due diligence of the work, but also my life is too short for me to have played this game. Yeah. So, no.
We're reporting the news, not the game.
Yeah.
We thought when we titled this show Filthy Casuals, like, oh, that sounds kind of cool and whatever, interesting or catchy or whatever. But it's like, it is the greatest get out of jail free card for doing absolutely no work for the show. The word casual is in the title.
And yet people don't seem to take that on board.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
We thought it would give us lenience. It absolutely has not.
Do people think that when we say we're kind and knowledgeable games journalists, that that's real?
To be fair, we do say it all the time.
We say it every episode.
Yeah.
Okay. We're comedians who kind of like playing video games.
I love playing them and I like them more than comedy. Anyway, the most prominent payment brick wall, this is from Forbes.com. I don't know what that means. The most prominent payment brick wall is the game's chest system. So there's chests. You get loot. It's the standard fucking thing. Of
chest.
Like chest.
Yeah, okay.
So like not chest.
I thought you were saying
chest. I thought you were saying chest.
Yeah. Chest system.
Chesty LaRue.
It's pretty cool. The game's called Blades and then you're just playing chess.
So they've got like the time that you need to wait before they open or you can pay to skip that time.
Right.
There's a percentage chance of getting the good ones.
Yep.
There's a limit to how many chests you can have at the one time which you can pay to expand.
This is online poker, basically.
As with almost every mobile game.
Paying to expand your chest. What is this? Thailand? Paying to expand your chest.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Pretty good, man.
It's good.
I like that a lot.
You know, like, dude, could I have made it, could I have said it better?
Maybe slower.
Paying to expand your chest.
Paying to expand your chest.
So
what is this?
There.
Thailand?
I did. Yeah, it worked.
I think that was too slow because I genuinely forgot you were doing it halfway through.
That's a great Paul Schaefer where he's just like butting in with feedback about the writing of the bit.
Yeah. Halfway through the show, he's like, welcome to the show. different amounts you can pay for different like rarities of chest.
Mm.
Exactly the sort of stuff that you'd assume, but it's just everywhere. It costs a lot of money and, yeah, it's pissing people off.
Right.
Man, Bethesda.
Did anyone have good expectations for this game though?
Probably not, but yeah. I was never really interested in it, but mainly because it was like a mobile game that looked like you just slashed at things that showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Randomly. Like, I don't know, man. Fuck Bethesda.
Bethesda in the dunny, fair to say.
They are my official flush of the week.
This has to become a regular thing. The official flush of the week. What if that's how like the language of, you know, everything online at the moment had panned out, and
instead of being cancelled.
That's it, Senator. You are flushed down the toilet.
No.
What can they do to like bring themselves back?
Yeah, exactly. Another shit house. Like they were promoting Fallout 76 and Blades way harder than you would imagine they would for games that always look to be about the level of quality that they ended up being.
Yeah, totally. A bit of a filler as well.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. They seem stuck in a weird position where they don't have much going on at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah.
Other than these two things that they fucked up back to back.
And like, you're right. They totally they overreached. Rather than going like, okay, we're going to sit back and yeah, we've got these games coming out, but we will work on the games that will save our company in 5 years.
Yeah.
They've gone all in on, you're right, these shitty games that always looked bad.
Yeah, and plenty of companies just go, here's a little, you know, just rolling this out, here you go.
The fact that they've got another E3 press conference this year where they specifically said we won't be showing that Starfield game or the sixth Elder Scrolls game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know they'd said that they weren't going to be showing those things. Because I was going to be my next question, what could their E3 be? Well,
they're getting ahead of that and just going like, I don't know. So there might be some other, they've got, no, Rage will already be out.
Well, 76
Doom.
Was...
Yeah, Doom, yeah, and, Doom. And the Wolfenstein franchises, the ones that are still, you know, have
but
a lot of goodwill.
But that's all it. Like, they're just their publisher, basically. Yeah.
Well, 76 wasn't... 76 was announced at last year's one, right? And then it came out relatively quickly. Was that last year?
I want to say it was announced a bit before.
I think it was teased before, maybe, yeah.
But it sort of did kind of come out of nowhere and then was released pretty quickly. So maybe they've got another thing like that. Maybe they've got another one.
Here's hoping.
Bullshit stopgap things where they're like,
maybe this time it's, here's Fallout 76, single player, and it's a good game.
We fixed it.
Yeah.
Skyrim 76. Yeah.
Having like a pretty shitty joking way of going like, well, we made a couple of mistakes, but here we go. It's Fallout 76 too. You get it for free if you've got the first one. It's all fixed up. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, that bullshit thing that he does where he tries to make the audience feel like they're shareholders or like part of the company.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
So, yep, that's out. What else has happened?
What else, boys?
What else is in the news?
Is there anything in the news? Is it time for the top 10? Or is this when we do Will It Float?
Did anything happen on the way, on a tram on the way here?
The big sort of release of the week, because we've had this bizarre thing where, like, this comedy festival that is very distracting for us has happened at the same time as very few releases.
Really, nothing's come out.
Which is a kind of a blessing.
In some senses.
In some ways.
But the one big thing, and I do mean physically big object
it's not really
that has been released, it's enormous. It's larger than a regular box of a game.
You don't know what he's about to say, Tommy.
Oh, good point.
Could be
anything.
King Kong Simulator.
Sick, honestly.
That would be great.
A VR thing where you're King Kong.
Just swiping at planes.
Oh, yes.
And then you get to die at the end.
Yes.
That's sweet release.
With the VR just goes to black and you never take it off.
It's like super glue starts seeping out of the helmet.
Labo.
Labo.
The fourth Labo kit.
Nintendo,
this is the fourth one.
Labo,
right?
VR. I think this is the third.
I think it's the fourth.
How many? Why? What are the four?
Mm.
The first two that came out, and then there was that driving one.
No, there was one.
There were two
and then
that
there
came
was
out
the driving
first.
One.
There was Build and Play or something.
Oh, no,
like
you're
that.
Right. They came out at the same time.
Yeah,
there was
like
the main
right
set,
away.
There was the robot.
Yeah.
Robot.
Yeah.
And then the and the driving one. And then,
so this is the fifth one.
Yeah.
This is.
I think that's what we're getting at.
Yeah. Labo 19. Fuck, imagine.
76. It's online only.
Oh, boy. Online only cardboard. You've just got to call your friend and tell them how to build it.
But it's really buggy. Like the pieces don't fit together properly.
You both got the VR kits.
Yes. Yeah, we both went and got it. I accidentally, because you can buy it, you can buy a starter one that's just got the goggles and the shooting one in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you can buy
the complete one that has.
But then separately, if you want later, you can get the elephant and all that other shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can buy a big complete one that's got all them in it. I accidentally bought the complete one.
I bought the complete one on purpose.
Oh, really? I don't necessarily want all the other ones apart from the gun and whatever. But
I
want
to look like a cardboard elephant. Mm. Make me Dumbo.
Yeah.
I want to do the bird one where you like, once you have the goggles on, you're looking up the bird's ass.
Yes.
You think it's going to be like a flight game, but it's a proctology game.
You just get eggs coming towards you.
You know how like they showed the thing of the little sensor can detect when your mouth is opening?
Yes.
On the Switch controller, you just got to gobble up the eggs straight out of the bird's ass.
Egg gobbler.
Man, VR fucking WarioWare. Anyway, let's...
would be sick.
It would be so good. Yeah, Any sort of fucking Switch proper WarioWare, motherfuckers, do it.
Yeah.
All I've done so far is build the main goggles component of it, because that was all that I had time to do, and I just kind of very quickly tried to get that done because I was just most interested, for the purposes of talking about it on this, seeing what the quality of the goggles and the VR experience is like.
Yeah.
So the build is like, do you mind if I go out and pick up that goggles actually and have a look at it while we're talking?
Knock yourself out.
All right, you go.
Go for a little walk.
Hey.
And
Knox yourself out.
Yeah. I'll tell people when Knox is over at the Switch. He's just going out the door. So he was out the door. So from when he got off mic to the door, that should give you a bit of an idea of the size of my apartment.
Yeah.
For people at home, if you're wanting to sort of piece together the geography of
he sprinted
the real
as well.
Space that, and now he's walking back over.
Yeah.
He's got it in his hands.
Now, Knox, you don't own any Labo, is that correct?
No, I have not fucked around with any Labo as of yet.
And where were you on the night of... that started to feel like a
I was
a
murdering
deposition.
That. Oh, never mind.
I never had before. So this was my first time building any of the Labo stuff. It's great.
How good is it?
It's really, really good. It's super simple. It's fun. The guide's very easy to use.
The guide might be one of the best bits about it.
So smart.
Yeah.
Really smart.
So it's a little thing that on the game cartridge, it's just like an interactive thing where you can hold down a button to move on to the next step. It's showing you on the screen what it's meant to look like at any given time.
Yep.
You can rotate the camera around. There's cool little music. There's cool little sound effects as it talks you through and it like acts out like how you're meant to fold it all over.
Yeah.
The way that it's the directions are written is really cute and fun. Like it's got a bit of personality to it.
Totally.
It's the same as what it was for the car one that
did,
which took hours and hours and hours. But it's
This VR set of goggles, a couple of observations immediately.
Yes.
Mm.
Very high quality cardboard, which is something I think I've made fun of you for saying in the past.
Yeah.
But the cardboard is high quality.
It's surprisingly like, so there's heaps of like bends and things and like, you know.
Yeah.
And it all is incredibly like well done and high quality. None of it's come close to tearing or anything.
Yeah, once you make the same with the steering wheel, once you make it, you're surprised by how sturdy and durable it is. And of course it is still cardboard, but you would have to... You couldn't accidentally knock it. Like, you would have to just...
I mean, if I
fucking
stood on
sit
this,
on it with full force.
Yeah,
it would,
yeah.
But it's not in danger of, like,
there's
you
some
know, yeah.
little bits of, like, foam to keep some of the folds, like, from scratching the switch.
Yep.
That you have to slide into the front here. I'm assuming this bit comes off deliberately.
Yeah.
So, like, this top bit here, I don't quite... I think that's just kind of to keep the switch.
That's got
to
be the bottom bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which way is it around? Yeah, so it's like... It's meant to be like this. So you slide the switch in there and then this goes on to stop. But then I think then once you've made like the gun and the other stuff, then that slides over the top of this.
Yeah. So it's just like folded cardboard into like what you'd imagine. If you've ever tried those like Google VR.
Google Cardboard.
Cardboard goggle things. There's a big plastic thing for the lenses.
Yes.
And proper glass lenses. Mm. Oh my God, everything's in three dicks. That's what 3D stands for. Three dicks. It's because you can see three dicks.
Why don't we call the podcast Three Dicks?
So just that bit of it.
In real life, you can only see two is the thing. Oh, but in VR, yeah, you can see three. Mm.
So that just that bit of it took me, I think it was like maybe an hour or so to
same.
Build.
I think I was like watching a footy match and I got it done, you know, during that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because it is a very small piece of cardboard and it's not particularly intricate. Like it looks
Yeah, but there's like a lot of stuff like in, you like you make all these little bits that fold over. So, and that starts durability. From
like the plastic thing is obviously built already, but the rest is just flat.
And that comes in like a little separate little box, little unit. And so you have like that and then just a bunch of sheets of cardboard and like little washers and stuff.
I'm going to get one of these on my way home.
It was really fun to put together.
The really cool
relaxing
thing, if you can see here, there's a little circle there on the top bit.
Yeah.
Once the Switch is in there, if you're playing a little thing on it that doesn't use the Joy-Con or controls or anything, the way that you control it is by tapping on top of that and that registers in the system. So it's if you ever want to go back to the menu, just tap on the top of the headset twice and then you go back.
That's pretty cool.
Like there's no button there or anything. I thought that was really cool.
So the Switch, when this, like there's no straps or anything on this.
No.
So you're just holding it to your face.
Yep.
Yeah.
And how the Switch isn't light.
It's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
It's by far the worst aspect of it.
And does this cardboard hold it in well? Like, I would feel nervous using this all of the time.
No, it's fine with that in that sense. But for me, it was holding it up to my face and then trying to play these games, which use the Joy-Con as well, and just being like...
So you've got one hand holding the Switch to your face and the other one hailing a taxi cab.
Yes. It's not ideal.
It's not ideal
at all.
It's
not fun. It kind of... fucks it.
Why is there not a strap?
I don't know.
I would imagine maybe because with a strap, that's just one more variable of like the strap could get loose and then it falls off your head and then the Switch breaks.
I guess so.
That's the only reason
but
I could
it's also
think
like
of.
Having to hold it in your hand the whole time and move around is just as dangerous.
And if you've already gone to the part of making the little elephant plastic part of the goggles, make the whole just this frame for the Switch plastic. Yeah. A big plastic thing like the PSVR with a proper strap. Proper headset.
Yeah.
Like this seems like such a half-assed element of it. Like, and then build the cardboard elephant over the top to just like go on as a fun little thing.
Or just figure out how to do this with a strap.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think that you probably could.
Yeah.
Well, there are two little like sort of things in the side, little holes in the side here that look like they are where a strap is meant to plug in.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I'm sure there'll be like things will go up on the internet of like people going like, hey, here's how to just make your own one for
people
it.
Have been making like little stands, little Virtual Boy stands for them, which would also work. But then also it's like, that's bad for your back to be fucking leaning into.
Are you looking around with it a lot though?
Yeah.
So you make the goggles bit and then there's like a dozen or so little mini games that are just built into just that section of it.
Right.
Yeah. So you finish making that bit and it's like, and it goes, do you want to play now?
No.
I don't want to reap the fruits of my labor.
Yeah.
And then it's like a little screen with about 12 different things on it that are all very, very simplistic. They're not like, you know, you can't win them. There's no aim. There's like, there's sort of a little like mini like version of Rocket League kind of thing where you're controlling a little car, driving around, kicking a soccer ball.
Well, but they've always described the Labo stuff as toys rather than games.
Yes.
Right? So
yeah. That. And I think the shooting one from the reviews I've read, the when you make the gun attachment for it, that's the one that's sort of got the most depth to it because you're holding onto this gun on the end of the headset and then you're I think maybe moving around with the Joy-Con or something. But that's got like, you know, you can get a high score in that or whatever. But all these things are like...
There's just like platforming ones, which are fucking awkward. Because again, like you're holding a thing up to your face.
Mm.
You got a Joy-Con in your hand. And then you're like moving around and jumping with one hand.
Yeah.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
So is it smooth though? Is like the frame rate good and you don't feel sick and it's like...
So the best thing about it, apart from the enjoyment of building it, was that it looks... on par to me with PSVR.
It's visually, I was shocked.
Yeah. So there's some complicated stuff going on with the VR too. Like it's not just, because these things I'm picturing as being like squares floating in white space.
The only thing that I would say makes it vastly, that makes it feel like that much of a different experience to the PSVR headset is the fact that it's not a full thing that's covering your head and therefore you're kind of locked into. Like, you are just holding it up against your head.
Yeah.
So you can see, you know, you're aware that you're just holding something to your head. You can still see light coming in and stuff, whereas the PS1, you are sort of locked into it.
Yeah.
But in terms of image quality, it's not that far off.
Yeah.
Like, the PSVR is pretty grainy. Like, it looks – it's and because the Switch just has – because it's just using a screen that already exists, like, the Switch has – gyro in it, all the stuff of like you moving your head around, it's all super smooth.
Yeah,
it's all
super,
like, it looks great. Like,
yeah,
it really, really works well.
I think the actual VR aspect of it is better than PSVR in terms of like not feeling sick, the image quality and the sort of focusing and stuff like that. And yeah, you're right, like, the response is really, really quick. Like, I think that was, yeah, very impressive.
Yeah.
I just wish there was a strap.
I'm very interested to see, like, A, Breath of the Wild seems impossible to play.
Yeah.
But
holding it up. So that would be you'd be holding it up and you're using the Joy-Con on either side
next to
your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that being as smooth as you're describing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's not out yet. They've not put that addition into the game yet.
That's on the 25th.
Right.
That's a patch.
What day is it today?
That will be next week.
It's okay. It's next Thursday.
Great.
So yeah, that and the Mario Odyssey thing both come out on the same day.
Okay, I was gonna ask. Yeah,
yeah.
Cool.
So those are the bits that I'm interested to see because, like, in quotes, real games.
Yeah, because
these are custom made for that. And is the like, what is going on with them visually? What are you looking at?
So there was one that I played that's in the first little section of it that's you're in a kitchen and so you're looking around, you've got like a, you know, a sink on this side.
And it's like
got
simple flat texture sort
it's
of
It's really,
kitchen.
Really simple.
It is very
it's
simple.
Really
that's what I'm saying is like, so they've deliberately made pulled back visuals, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not even talking about the graphical. I'm just talking about what the actual, when you're looking through the goggles, what that looks like. Like, I know they are scaled down visuals and everything, but
like, I think, like, the amount of pixels on that you can see is comparable to the PS4.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The fact that when you're putting it together and you see that it's just these plastic lenses that are looking at a Switch screen, I sort of thought, oh God, here we go. But then you put it on and you go, yeah, this doesn't feel like I'm looking at anything too different to what's in the PSVR in terms of just pure, like, lens quality.
Completely agree. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. I just looked it up. Technically, the PSVR is a higher resolution, but I doubt any games run at that. Like, it can do 1080p. No, 960 by 1080 per eye. So I guess that's, 1080p with both eyes. And the Switch is 720. So
I don't think it's going to be a massively immersive thing with Breath of the Wild. I think it'll just be it'll be running at the same.
Because that's what I've loved about VR is like the things where it's like, oh, there's orange blocks floating around and I'm looking at them is like fine.
Yeah.
But when you're in something where it like, not quite Astro, but what was that fucking other one? Robinson the Journey or something like that, where it's just like, these are fucking impressive visuals.
Yeah.
And I'm in it. That was the stuff that really got me about VR.
I think the Breath of the Wild thing is just meant to be a little novelty of like, hey, you can play it for a little bit and while you're playing, you can just look around in any direction.
If it's a novelty that makes you feel sick, though, then that will suck.
Yeah.
It's just a little tacked on thing after this has already
come on. It's a novelty. Don't worry about it. It's just a fun novelty.
But it is just a little tacked on thing after this has already come out. Like, having now used these goggles, I'm now more and more convinced that this really is a toe in the water for them if they announce this rumored Switch Pro thing.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon they're close to just going all in. Like, this is a little toy for kids, essentially. It's a little, you said it, you described it as a little ViewMaster. Which is, it's a little ViewMaster for kids. Where they're sort of getting a gauge on how the tech works and how people feel about it.
Yeah.
And seeing that it is actually relatively easy for them to go, okay, here's our full-fledged headset for this next thing that we're bringing out. That is what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
A tech demo that just happens to be able to fall under the banner of, hey, we have this little label now that our little kids' stuff comes out on, so we'll just sort of test it on that.
They are very, very upfront about like, this is a fun dumb toy, this is a cardboard thing, this is like, it features VR sort of, but so I don't want to be too harsh on it, but it just like,
Because you're not going to get an immersive experience out of Breath of the Wild anyway, because the, you know, the PSVR one has the little headphones that you connect. So once you're in it, you are really in it. And this, even though the image quality is really impressive and really good, it doesn't have that level of immersion.
No.
It's just it just looks cool. It just looks impressive.
Yeah.
But doing the kitchen thing where you're, so you can spin around and you've got like a little stove in front of you, you've got a sink over here, and then you're using the Joy-Con to like move a hand around.
Yeah.
And then you can hold the R button down to like grab stuff, and all the physics are all kind of fucked up. So you grab the frying pan and you can like, you know, chuck stuff up in it, and it's like flying up into the air. And then once you start doing a couple of things, and there's just shit floating all around the kitchen, it's cool. Like, it's, you know, it's 2 minutes worth of like, oh, this is kind of neat, and that's it. But there's just like a dozen things on the on
there's
the
more than that.
Thing.
I think there's like a couple of pages of mini games.
There's just heaps of dumb little things like that where you sort of go, just seeing the sort of Nintendo touch of a little simple VR experience of like, okay, this is pretty cool. Like, they're not trying too hard here, but it is pretty cool and it is pretty neat that you sort of start to go, oh, yeah, if they just committed and went in, there could be some fucking great shit in this.
Yeah.
Sick.
I would be surprised if anyone went in on this and was like, that's a fucking waste of money, because I think it's such a fun experience to build it. There are like a whole bunch of mini games, and just seeing how this works is, I think, fascinating enough to go in. It's, I was really happy to have done
it. And it's the same with the other one as well. The steering wheel takes like 4 hours to do or something, and you build so many fucking different parts of it that go in to make it sturdy and make it turn. And then, yeah, then getting that and then having that connected to the game where you're driving around in it, it's like,
it's just
you turning this wheel that you've built every single part of it and knowing exactly what it's doing is like, fuck, this is really cool.
Yeah. Cool. So this is still like a Labo thing in the sense that the building is the primary fun part, and then it, like, it's cool once it's done, but you're not going to fuck with it that much.
I guess so, yeah. It's kind of like it's like doing a Lego and that being fun, doing the building.
And then you swoop it around for a bit, go
Like, the hospital then that you built. You get like a actual fun little reward of like, oh, there's like video games that I can use this on. Yeah.
Cool.
And again, like, if you're a parent with a 11-year, I think there's an age that you're not meant to be. I think it's 8 is the minimum for the this is not safe to use VR.
Right.
If you're under that age.
There's a lot of warnings and shit while you're making it as well. You can't, don't pick up the lenses and look into the sun. They say that literally like 4 times while you're building it.
Okay.
It must really fuck. Like, obviously, it's magnifying glass.
Yeah. When I was doing it, because it's a Middle Comedy Festival, I was in my living room with all of the blinds drawn. So absolutely. It's like, absolutely no risk of that, boys. No natural light in here, thanks.
Yeah, I'll be avoiding natural light for the next few weeks.
But yeah, if you've got, if you're a parent of like a 10-year-old or whatever, like, absolutely go in.
I'm in.
Yeah. What? Wait, what?
Have I not told you about my 10-year-old?
No.
No.
Oh, Scramule. I coughed while I was naming it. Scramule. Oh, no, don't write it down. Oh, no, it's too late.
Yeah, you only get one go at naming the kid.
Yeah.
You've got to nail it or else they're fucked.
I also follow up on something I was pontificating on last week.
Yes.
I downloaded Final Fantasy VII and played about an hour or so of it the other night. I really, really, really like it.
Yeah.
It's having no attachment to it, having no nostalgia for it. Not even really. I mean, I played a lot of 64 games, but there is a sort of a different aesthetic to the PlayStation aesthetic.
Like,
even having any attachment to that sort of look of game from childhood. It holds up. It holds up really, really well.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
A big part of that is the pre-rendered backgrounds, which allow it to have a degree of, like, sort of realism that makes it easier to forgive how kind of blocky and shit the character models are.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to find the character models charming and look at them as, like, a deliberate design choice when the backgrounds are sort of convincing. Right. Then if the whole thing was polygons and it all sort of looked like that, I think it would be a bit harder to slog through.
Yes.
Like, that kind of mismatch of aesthetics just creates a bit of a charm that I could almost see a developer today going, let's make something in this style deliberately.
Right.
Because it does have a kind of certain, yeah, it is really, really charming.
Mm.
Music's great. Mm. Battle's just simple turn-based battle. And the story and the characters are so immediately just win you over. Mm. I went in wanting to like it, but I was surprised by how quickly I did and how much I did. I didn't find the opening to be a slog or anything at all.
Yeah, yeah. I think that opening is a huge part of why it holds up, because it is like that slow build, very cinematic. You're introduced to like this very sort of confusing, weird aesthetic city.
They keep it like so many words in capital letters get thrown at you, like avalanche and soldier and all of that. And like, yeah, that swoop in from the train and then they jump off is cool.
Yeah. But it's just like,
I think that's it. It's cool. It is a cool opening. It's like, all right, I'm in.
It's like I said to you, it's really interesting because it's people often say like, oh, it's a very like typical JRPG, but just the setting of it and the aesthetic of it is so different to what usually gets done in those games. Like they're often like, oh, we're in a forest and we're, you know.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on it, because I think I so closely associate Final Fantasy with what a JRPG is.
Mm.
And I also mostly played them from 7 onwards.
Right.
Which is such a mixture of aesthetics. There's a lot of like cyberpunk and sci-fi.
And then a lot of other things started doing that too because of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
But it is funny that you're in this like Blade Runner world and then it's still like, cast ice magic.
Yes.
It's like, why? Why can he do this? There's no fucking justification for why he's got.
Oh, there is. Hold your horses.
Oh, boy.
You'll end up in a couple forests and stuff too. Like, you'll have that stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, just getting into the beginning things of it and going, great, I'm into this. I've got a big plane trip coming up.
Mm.
I'm like now looking forward to like, cool, sit down and just,
yeah,
I know I'm going to lock into this and enjoy it. But to anyone else out there who's not played it, it runs great on the Switch.
Yeah.
It's really good in handheld. It's got a couple little things where you can speed it up, so you can push in the left stick, and it makes it run at 3x speed.
Oh, right.
Which there are certain points where it's like it definitely does need that. Like some pacing stuff in like some little bits of dialogue and battles and stuff.
Yep.
It does help to speed up the... I think you can turn off random encounters as well.
Yeah, so I think these options are in maybe the PS4 release as well.
And it's also got a thing that you can hit select and it shows you... it kind of highlights points of interest on the screen.
Oh, yeah, that was
not
the,
always
that was
easy.
The original.
Oh, really? Oh, okay,
the exits...
The little finger and point at you. So if you turn off random battles, though, what happens when you get to bosses that you have to fight?
And you're
like, you'd probably just die.
I was thinking
there are bosses
in
that. There are like several along the way where it's a real like, no, you better have fucking gotten tough by now.
Yeah, I don't quite know how that would work.
Yeah.
Weird.
But I played through, that first, hour and a bit, and then I went and watched the trailer for the remake. Which, interestingly enough, is just basically the beginning of the game that I had played. So it was really interesting to be able to then go and watch that and see what they've done with it
from
immediately.
Like 5 years ago now something? That's insane.
Yeah.
That game is never coming out.
Well, the main thing that you get from that trailer, and I'm sure we talked about it at the time, but I didn't really have the context for it, is that it's got that newer battle system in it.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, that sort of seems less interesting.
Leave the random battles on too, because there are some like cool,
for sure I am,
weird enemies that you fight.
Yes,
and
they're not as, they don't feel as grindy when you can just make it go at 3x speed.
Yeah.
Especially early on when you're like, well, I'm going to win this. It's just a matter of just attacking 4x and then I'll have won it. If you just make it go at 3x speed and then you just go, like it's done really quickly and you just like it does feel like less of a burden.
But yeah, I think that it's definitely worth seeing all of the enemies, because like there's a very strong aesthetic at the start, which changes certainly as the game goes on, but all the enemies are just fucking insane, and a lot of them are from previous games as well. Really weird designs and names and stuff, and it's part of the fun of me playing it like back in the day was like, what what is this? Why is it in the game? Who thought this up?
What is a turtle?
What is this fucking turtle? What a frog? Oh, when you fight the frogs? Oh, so frustrating.
The frogs are cunts.
Yeah. I was thinking like, yeah, playing this at the age I was when it came out would have been fucking really something. And it is funny to be playing it on a Nintendo console when it was the first Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Not wasn't. To be because they had a big falling out or whatever.
It was because of CDs.
Yeah.
They did like, as you can see with this game, why they wanted CDs.
Mm. For sure. It would not have worked on the 64 at all.
No.
But yeah, really, really good. Glad to finally go in. Mm. And
glad to Final Fantasy go in.
Mm. Man, maybe I'll play Final Fantasy 7 again one of these days.
I'm going to buy it on the Switch when I get home.
Maybe I'll play 9 again and fucking preach the good word from over here.
All right.
Yeah.
VV. That's the name of one of the characters.
BV.
Shout out to my travel agent, by the way, who listens to this, who was organizing stuff for me and then in an email where we were working out stuff, chucked in, by the way, did you end up buying Final Fantasy? Because if you haven't yet, I'd recommend Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright.
I'm like, oh, hell yeah. That's
Can we keep this about business, thanks?
I played those games.
I've never played those games.
Me either.
I'm not going to get the re-releases just because I've played them already, but they are fucking great.
So are they on Switch?
Yeah, they're on the Switch, the Xbox, the PS4, and Steam, I'm pretty sure. I think they're across the board everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if they the first three I think just came out in a pack on the Switch.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were Game Boy Advance games originally.
Mm. Right.
So this is going way back. And they released on the DS over here.
Yes.
And so it's kind of a like graphic novel detective game.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you're like going through and being a detective, but you're also a defense lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to figure out the crime, how it actually happened, so that you get your defendant off.
Right.
And so it's kind of like looking through these little crime scenes and going through and talking to people and going like, but you had this shoe was here and you're the size 10. And they're like, no, I've got two shoes. It's better than that.
I can't imagine anything better than that.
Yeah, if it's not exactly that, I'm not interested.
And then
got two shoes.
When you're in the courtroom.
The old two shoes defense.
Uh-huh.
When you're in the courtroom, you have to piece it together in your head. It doesn't lay it out too much for you.
Right.
I mean, they're all kind of unrelated cases that then do have a bit of a narrative arc to them. Mm-hmm.
But my question is, because I've heard these are really good for ages, always thought I'd like to go on one day. This got announced it was coming out and I was like, oh, I reckon I'll get that. And then read a bit more on it and just keeping reading it described as one of those visual novel games. I was like, you know those ones where you just kind of click through and you're not really doing anything.
You're way more invested
than
that.
You are actually having to sort of solve stuff. Okay, right.
You have to logically put together what happened.
Okay,
and then
right.
Like when it comes to the point of like, and here's what happened. You have to know it well enough to be able to actually pick the right stuff.
Yeah,
okay,
cool.
I'm back in.
And then the music's fucking fantastic. It's so well presented. Like the art of it is fantastic.
Okay.
It's a fantastic game. I think it's fantastic. And I think fantastically it's out on a whole bunch of different fantastic platforms.
Is it out now?
It is, I believe, out
now. Yeah, fantastic.
Again, I'm not gonna play these ones, so I can't speak to the quality of the port and how it's been up-res.
Because there's six or something like that, aren't there?
There's a whole bunch of them. Like this initial three were the first Phoenix Wright ones, and then I think it went to someone else, Ace Attorney.
Okay.
Arizona Sunshine. No, that's just the name of another game. There's another guy, and then like there's other Miles Edgeworth, who's like your enemy in these ones.
Edgeworth.
He's like the prosecuting lawyer and he's like this pompous fucking dude with like purple hair, and you hate him, but he's doing his best.
Sounds polyamorous.
It's sure
pompous with purple hair.
Yeah, fuck, that's fair.
They're very fucking good. Hopefully these are good ports. Again, I can't really say to it, but the quality of the game underneath should mean that even if they aren't,
yeah, great.
It's still okay.
I'm going to go in. Thanks to Keishan, the travel agent, to the podcasting stars for that recommendation. You know what I'm ready for? A new Professor Layton game. Get on it, boys.
I'm pretty sure there is one.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
God damn.
I think there's one coming out.
Those were fucking real fun.
Never played them either.
You're a little detective, and you go around a town.
Did I ask to hear about the game?
Oh, you actually didn't. Okay.
Please tell me about the game.
Fucking Phoenix Wright is so good. I'm just thinking about Phoenix Wright again now. Little twists get thrown at you in the courtroom.
All right, I'm downloading it tonight.
And then the music changes and everyone starts sweating and you go, oh no.
Oh, wow.
That's
oh,
it. I am going to cancel my show tonight and download Phoenix Wright.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, well, right. Is Professor Layton, what, similar?
Professor Layton is like you'll be in, you're solving a case, but then there's like along the way, for whatever reason, just little... Puzzles that you have to do that are like
super traditional puzzles. Traditional, like move the matchstick once to get this 7 turned into a 12.
That sort of shit. Yeah, and of escalating difficulty and stuff, but like with a very charming coat of paint over it, very cute music, and just character design of like just this quaint little sort of Japanese version of like an old school like
European
British detective kind of thing. Yeah,
Poirot-y, Sherlock-y kind of.
Yeah. And there's a dark secret, but it's not that dark because I am a child's protagonist.
Okay.
So everyone in the town is being sneaky because they've been stealing buns.
Yeah, it's very cute. Yeah, it's great.
So it's not even like a witch is there.
It might get to that. I didn't want to say what the actual thing in the first one was in case anybody cares about that. But it's stuff along the lines of like... The dogs can talk.
Yeah.
And they're the mayor.
Yeah. People keep saying they want Professor Layton in Smash Brothers, and I have to agree. He would be fucking great in there.
That'd be all right.
All right, folks. Well, I guess we'd better wrap it up for another week. Thank you for joining us. Comedy Festival, get on down. We got a couple shows left, each of us, and then you won't have to hear about it on the pod for another fucking year.
Or maybe 2 years.
Anyone in London, come see me at the Bill Murray Pub on May the 6th.
Do you reckon Bill Murray just like goes to the pub? Or do you reckon he's too famous? No, do you reckon he just goes down to the pub?
He does, and he'll pour you a beer and then he'll whisper, no one will ever believe you.
There's your beer, please enjoy.
He went and watched The Dollop when they were here.
Bill Murray came up to me in the street and I was eating chips, and he took a chip out and he ate it and he leaned in and he whispered, sorry, I was really hungry. Bill Murray doing all those things, but then immediately apologizing.
Yeah, that's good.
I reckon, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Guys, get onto the Patreon, support the podcast if you enjoy getting it for free.
Yeah.
If you support us for $10 a month or more, you get an extra episode every week that we record after these normal ones. Mm-hmm. We've got bonus stuff like Bandcamp episodes that you can get. We've got our YouTube channel where we're currently playing through A Way Out, getting some great feedback on that. So thank you to everyone who's watched them. There are currently five episodes up that people can enjoy. Six.
There'll be six by now.
Six. That's going great.
Yeah.
Thanks to people who are watching that. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the socials and everything like that. Thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Bill Murray fucked my wife. And then he leaned into my ear and he said, sorry for fucking your wife. I didn't know. Sorry. Sorry about Scrooged as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.